Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, we thank you, Abba, for allowing us to live another day, for giving us the breath of life, Father. We ask that you forgive us for our sins and that you hear our prayer. Father, thank you for the Shabbat day. Thank you for allowing us to make it through another week, Father, in this world that's going haywire, this disobedient world, Father. Thank you for watching after us another week, another moment, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to strengthen us, continue to put your spirit upon all of Israel, Father, that you keep encouraging us, that we keep on encouraging each other, Abba. Abba, we ask that you continue to send your healing to our Ema, our sister Chomi, whoever's hurting physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. Heal up the broken hearts. Bind up their wounds, Abba, as your word says. Father, thank you for the words that you put on our brother's heart last night, our brother Yariel, as he brought forth your word, Father. Continue to lead and guide him that he speaks your truth and that we realize, Abba, different things about you, Father. That he brings forth all kinds of truths, Father. We ask now, Father, that you grow us, continue to water us, continue to grow us into the men and women that you desire, and that we do what is pleasing to you always. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Israel his nation, and the prophets truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. You should have a day well. Magnify the Torah and make it honorable. This is week number 5. And we're going to continue to talk about the senses. And the last sense, we went through all the senses except for touch. So that's the last sense. And I pray that Abba then open up your eyes to different things and various truths about him, about himself, that we got a little bit closer to Abba. So today we're going to talk about the sense of touch. I'm going to send this link out on, let's see if I can get it to, all right, let's see. Give me 1 second. I'm going to send the link out to, I hope I send it out to the right line. There's so many lines. I'm going to send it out to a line, and prayerfully everybody will get it and be able to follow along and see the charts, and which is something I should have did through the whole thing, because it's actually, it shows actual visually how this stuff is laid out and how it's mapped and this, that, and another. And it'll help you see different things, you know. So we're going to talk about touch today. I'm about to send this link out if I can. And again, this one, Arizona State University. It's Acts of Biologists. Give me 1 second, fam. All right. I sent it out. I sent it out on the 20 line. So I hope everybody got it. And the heading is how do we sense touch? Todaiki. All right. It says, the sense of touch. You got, okay. Mario got it. So it is on the 20 line. And, you know, y'all can follow along and read with me. All right. So it says, the wind howls outside as the rain pounds against the window. All right. Everybody, it looks like people got it. All right. It says, the wind howls outside as the rain pounds against the window. With a sudden flash of lightning, the lights in your room go out. Vision won't help very much in the darkness of the room, but you know where there is a flashlight in the nightstand next to the bed. You move your hands towards it, find the drawer handle, and open it. You start to feel around for the flashlight. As you touch each object in the drawer, you can identify it immediately. After a few tries, you feel the rubber grooves of the flashlight. With a sigh of relief, you pull it out of the drawer and turn it on. While you may think you have psychic powers to be able to correctly identify the flashlight from the other items you touch, your skin did most of the work. Skin has many types of receptors that help you feel the things that you touch. In your body, a receptor is a structure that can get information from the environment. The information is then changed into a signal that can be understood by the nervous system. Receptors that let the body sense touch are located in the top layers of the skin, the dermis and the epidermis. Right? And you can see the little diagram right there, you know, and it's going to go into the different parts of the diagram. All right? It says receptors are small in size. Man, the one thing that we all find in common with all of these senses is that it's dealing with the receptors, or, you know, the way Abba designed this. This is how the initial information is received, right? But as it goes along and as it passes forward, it changes. So, and think about that. And the one thing, touch is different from the rest of the senses in that in all the other senses, we was dealing with some type of chemical reaction. With all the rest of the senses, it was a chemical reaction that helped translate this information to your brain. But with the sense of touch, it's no chemical reaction there. So in that way, it's a little bit different. But why did Abba design it that way? And think about what we just read. You know, when we're feeling different things, that's more, and when I say feeling, I mean feeling from with these receptors that's on the two top layers of our skin, dermis and the epidermis, right? That's more of a physical thing, right? But when you're talking about chemicals and it switching over, that's more of a spiritual thing. Think about it now. We can feel wind, which is spiritual. We can feel air. You know, if you move your arm up and down or wherever, just move it. You can feel the air just riding across your arm, excuse me for a second, let me shut this window. Say fire truck just came down the street. But that is a physical truth that's teaching us a spiritual truth, you know? That the physical and the spiritual can interact with one another, right? So it says, receptors are small in size, but they collect very accurate information when touched. They may sense pain, temperature, pressure, friction, or stretch. Unique receptors respond to each kind of information. This helps provide the body with a full picture of what's touching the skin. Okay, so you got thermoreceptors, which sense temperature. They do this by changing their level of activity. For example, if the temperature becomes colder, thermoreceptors that sense cold will be more active. The ones that sense heat will be less active. Then you have nociceptors. They sense pain, but maybe not pain in the way that a person normally thinks about it. We think of different types of pain related to a cut or a burn, but nociceptors can't tell one from the other. They only detect damage to the skin cell. So while a person might think about the pain as being different for a burn versus a cut, nociceptors get similar information in both cases. So ABA designed a receptor to tell us when we are being damaged, right? And when we read a little bit further, it tells us that this pain is a warning to us, right? But think about people, because there is a condition, a nervous condition, where some people can't sense pain. You know, I remember reading about a woman, I think it was a woman, a long time ago, it was a while ago, she couldn't sense pain, and she ended up dying from infection because she burnt herself, and it was a really, like the worst degree burns, right? But, you know, she couldn't feel herself being burnt because those receptors wasn't working. So she didn't know that she was in danger, and she ended up getting infected. You know, the burns didn't kill her, but, you know, the infection set in, and that's what killed her. But think about that, you know. What happens when these receptors or any of our senses go off? You know, the type of danger that we're in. Because now the inflammation is not getting to the brain, and the brain can't move us, it can't maneuver us properly. Right? So it says, the next one, mechanoreceptors. Sense contact with the skin. These receptors are mechanical, which means they feel physical change. The change could be when the object presses firmly or just brushes up against the skin. Just brushes the skin. It says, while each of these sensory receptors responds to a specific type of touch, they all act in the same way when they are activated. As part of the nervous system, these receptors will fire an action. Action potentials are signals sent by the spinal cells called neurons that make up the nervous system. They are used to share many different kinds of information within the nervous system. Action potentials from all these receptors will send signals to both the spinal cord and the brain. Neuroscientists still aren't sure how signals from these receptors are changed into information that a person can understand. For example, when you are tickled versus poked, you know right away what happened. And think about that. Because these receptors are just taking this information, the tickling and the poking, just like we read earlier, the difference between a cut and a burn. We sense it differently, but the receptors are taking in that same information. Is no different to them, according to the science. Now, we know immediately the difference between a burn and a cut, a tickle and a poke, right? But that's how sensitive these receptors are. And by no means am I saying that these scientists know everything about the body. They don't. And according to them, they don't. You know, they don't know how we, like I said, the difference between a tickle and a poke. But we do. We feel it. It's different for us when it happens. It says, but how does the brain let you know whether it's a tickle or a poke based on only a few action potentials? Scientists continue to study this question. Now we're going to drop down here. It says in the yellow sections, it's the second yellow section. But first let's go back up to this diagram right quick. And if you click on the diagram, there's some information in there which is like it's real interesting too. It says, Nerve cells in the cell are able to send information to your brain about things you touch. These are different types of touch receptors. Meissner and Pacinian corpuscles detect vibration. They are most important for detecting surface texture. For example, e.g., rough versus smooth. So if you look at where they are, the Pacinia is on the right all the way down. The last one on the right. And the Meissner is the one right above it. So, and you see where they're at. They're in that second layer of skin. So, you know, if it's something is smooth or if something is rough, you're actually going down past the first layer of skin to these receptors. And they are telling the brain whether something is smooth or rough or jagged or this, that, and another. It says, ruffians, corpus cells, and Merkel discs respond to pressure on the skin. They are important for the detecting stretching of the skin to control finger positions during movement, as well as identifying object features like shapes and edges. Free nerve endings are important for detecting pain and temperature. And, you know, it shows where each one is at. You know? And, you know, when you look at how it's designed, you know, it's no part of your body that isn't taking in some type of information for the brain. All right. So back to the front page. If you go down to the second yellow section, you're going to see it says, how do we sense touch? It says, do we need touch? If you click on that, we're going to read this part next. And it reads, it says, do we need touch? It says, we could survive without touch. But imagine always having to use your other senses to figure out what's going on around you. If you try to pick up something without looking at it, you have no idea whether or not you touched the right object or if it slipped and fell out of your hands. You know, so think about that. And think about what Paul wrote. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of it. Because the eye can't pick something up. Your hands do that. You know? And after you lift it, if you got to carry it, your hands can't say to your feet, I don't need it. Because how are you going to journey? How are you going to walk to get to the place? Right? So each one plays and you know, all this is dealing with touch because, like you said, if you don't have the sense of feeling, you pick something up, you don't know whether you dropped it or not. You don't know if you're carrying the thing without actually seeing it. Right? And it gives a couple more good examples, too. It says, try to pick up something while I look at it. You have no idea whether or not you touched the right object or if it slipped out of your hand, if it slipped and fell out of your hand. In this case, you have to watch your hands all the time to make sure they are doing what they are supposed to. Walking would even be more difficult. Imagine having to watch each leg take a step to make sure your legs were moving like they should. So while a person could survive without touch, it will be more difficult to do many things. It also turns out that even if you do watch your hands or legs, your body is much less coordinated without a sense of touch. Think about the last time you sat on your leg or laid on your arm for too long. That pins and needle feeling makes your limb feel very strange. But it also makes it very difficult to move that limb. If your leg is asleep, you'll probably wait until you could feel it again before you try to get up to avoid falling over. And, this is something that we all experience. When your leg fell asleep, you standing up and in my case, I could barely stand anyway. My leg fell asleep. Boy, I'm going at it. I got to shake it. I got to rock back and forth and all kinds of stuff, to get that feeling back. To get that feeling back so I can start moving somewhat. I don't move all that well. But it says, part of the reason that it becomes difficult to coordinate your movements without touch is because there's another sense that works closely along with it. This sense is called proprioception. Proprioception is the ability to know where the body is in space. If you were to close your eyes and move your arms around, you still know about where it is. That sense of knowing is possible because of proprioception. Some scientists say that proprioception is the ability to feel your body. Receptors very similar to those used for touch are located in the muscles and skin. These receptors allow you to keep track of where your limbs are, even when you can't see them. Touch and proprioception work together very closely. Scientists also refer to these two senses together as haptics. All right. So that's the end of that one. I'm send out another link to y'all. And this is from brainfacts.org. Now, this one is called The Neuroscience of Touch and Pain. All right. And this says, I hope everyone got it. It says, when holding your friend's hand, you feel the heat from their skin, the softness or roughness of their palm, and the pressure from other fingers. The sense of touch conveys important social information, helping strengthen bonds between people. So think about that. See, how important is it when you hug someone? Sometimes people just need a hug. Sometimes people just need to be held, a shoulder to cry on, an ear to listen. It's that interaction, that human interaction is very important. Now think about that when Yahweh touches us literally. How many times in the Word has the Word said an angel touched him and raised him up, raised up Eliyah, stand up and strengthened him? That same touch feeling is that strengthening, like if you're going through something, a pat on the back. You're going to make it through, brother. An encouraging word and a pat on the back. An encouraging word or some empathy and a hug, the sense of touch, very important in healing, right? So he says, since the sense of touch conveys important social information to help and strengthen bonds between people. So if your friend grips your hand so hard it hurts, touch lets you know something is wrong or dangerous through the feeling of pain. Crucial maps and sensitivity to touch. Sensations begin as signals generated by touch receptors in your skin. They travel along sensory nerves made up of fibers that connect to neurons in the spinal cord. These signals move to the thalamus, which relays information to the rest of the brain. Next stop is the somatosensory cortex, where signals are translated into a touch perception. Somatosensory information from all over the body spreads onto the cortex, forming a topographic map that curls around the brain like headphones. Sensitive areas like lips and fingertips stimulate much larger regions of the cortex than less sensitive parts. So that's why you shouldn't kiss everybody. You know, outside of the fact that, you know, that's why I kiss you so, you know, you kiss on the lips, that's reserved for the one you love. It's a real sensitive thing. You know the touch, the difference, the way your wife touch you. Like, if your wife touch your hand, it feels a little different than, you know, if you touch the hand of a friend. You're shaking the hand of a friend. Whether it's the opposite sex or not, you know, you shake their hand or your wife touch your hand, it's totally different. It senses different. It feels different. Your body reacts to it differently. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to rewind a little bit further down too. It says, sensitive areas like lips and fingertips stimulate much larger regions of the cortex than less sensitive parts. A region's sensitivity depends on the number of receptors per unit area and the distance between them. Unlike the very sensitive lips and hands, receptors on your back are few and far apart, so it's much less sensitive. Neurologists measure sensitivity by examining the minimum distance between two points on the skin a person can identify as distinct stimuli rather than a single stimulus. Perception is greatest where the two-point threshold is lowest. In the most densely nerve-packed areas, like fingers and lips. But you can distinguish two stimuli on your back only if they're several centimeters apart. Pain and itch signals. Stub your toe on a door jamb too hard and you'll feel an uncomfortable sensation. Pain. Primarily a warning signal. Pain is the brain's way of signaling something is wrong with the body. Both a sensory and emotional experience. Pain signals tissue damage or the potential for damage and makes the experience feel unpleasant and upsetting. After your toe encounters the door jamb, special sensory neurons, nociceptors, respond to the impact. Nociceptors are attuned to stimuli that causes tissue damage. They respond to strong stimuli telling you when something is truly dangerous. Touching the door jamb gently isn't harmful. Kick it too hard and you could break a bone. But that's not, and each of these receptors is that in tune. Abba designed our body to be that in tune with the environment around it. Right? It says, different Noki receptors are sensitive to different painful stimuli, like thermal, which does heat or cold, mechanical, there's wounds, and chemical, toxins and venoms. Because some Noki receptors respond only to chemical stimuli causing itch. Histamine receptors activate when skin irritation, bug bites, or allergies trigger the release of histamine in the body. Itch receptors have molecular channels in their cell membrane that open when they detect histamine. Scientists have identified other itch-specific receptors that activate when they detect other molecules, including prostaglandins, neuropeptides, and proteases. The body releases in response to pain and irritants. Injury triggers the release of various chemicals at the site of damage, causing inflammation. This inflammatory soup prompts nerve impulses to keep you feeling pain. So you'll protect the injury. So after you bang your toe, you keep on feeling pain. So it's like, okay, it hurts, so maybe they'll stop. It hurts, so maybe they'll stop. It hurts, so maybe they'll stop. Don't that sound like what's going on in the word? If you continue to go against me, this is going to happen to you. And if you keep on walking contrary to me, this is going to happen to you. And if you keep on walking contrary to me, this is going to happen to you. It's the pain was meant for us to stop and consider and protect it, just like with our own bodies. You know, I don't know nobody who, unless they are training, you know, like a boxer punches and punches and punches, and he punches till his hand hurts, and then it heals, and then you punch until your hand hurts, and it heals and it hardens. It actually hardens the bones within your fists. Same way for a kickboxer, and, you know, they kicking and this, that, and another. But it hurts. And you want to stop. And your body's telling you to stop. See? But it's a good thing to go through it sometimes, if that's what you're going to be doing. But then there's the other side of it. You know, it's good to have that dedication to be able to fight through the pain. But understand why Abba made the pain. Sometimes it's not good to fight through the pain. Sometimes it's better to nurse your wounds. So he says, all right, it says you'll protect the injury. Prostaglandins make receptors more sensitive to pain, so pain feels more intense. A long-lasting injury may lead to nervous system changes that enhance perceived pain, even without pain stimuli. This neuropathic pain is caused by an oversensitive nervous system rather than an injury. In diabetic neuropathy, prolonged exposure to high blood sugar damages nerves in the hands and feet, sending signals of numbness, tingling, burning, or aching pain. To send and receive a message. Pain and itch messages travel to the spinal cord via A-delta and C-nerve fibers. Melanated A-delta fibers insulate the nerve so electrons are channeled effectively and travel faster, letting you feel immediate, sharp, and easily identifiable pain. Unmelanated C-fibers transmit messages more slowly, and their nerve endings spread over a larger area. They help you feel dull aches, difficult to pinpoint. From the spinal cord, signals head to the thalamus, which relay signals to the areas of the cerebral cortex, transforming messages into conscious experience. Once aware, you can decide to be more careful the next time you approach the door, right? Now, pain management. And I found this part really interesting. It says, if you and your friend both stub the same toe on the same door jamb, you'll probably experience the pain differently. Pain depends both on the strength of the stimulus and the emotional state and setting in which the injury occurs. So now you're dealing with your emotions, right, with the pain. And it's a really good example of what he gives, right? It says, when messages arrive in the cortex, the brain can process them differently depending on whether you had a good day, broke up with your girlfriend, right? So think about that. How many times you already had a bad day, things ain't going right, you know, and you bang your foot up, since they're using that example, you bang your toe, you stub your toe. You already having a bad day, and then all of a sudden you cussing, you fussing. Like, oh man, what else could go wrong? This, that, another, yada, 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 yada. And you're going at it because you already had a bad day. Then on the flip side, you're having a good day, and you're doing this, that, another. You bang your toe, and all of a sudden you're laughing about it. It hurt, but you're laughing. You're like, I can't believe I did that. Oh my goodness. Hey, I'll be more careful. You're such a klutz. You know, but think about it. The same thing happened, but because you were in a different emotional state, you reacted to the stimuli differently, and your brain processed the stimuli differently. So how important is it to keep our emotions in check, right? Just from a sense, think of it this way. The word says this. Hold that thought. Let's go look at it. Right? And I know I didn't get my foundational scriptures. That's going to happen at the end. Thank you. Here you go. Romans chapter 14. Minute. That's a good one too, but it's another one. It's in Titus. Boom. All right. Well, let's look at the one in Romans 2 because it supports it also. Romans chapter 14, verse 20. It says, well, let's start at 19 to get the thought. It says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Verse 20 says, for meat destroy the work of Yah. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth without a sense. So it's talking about eating meat and people who say, well, you shouldn't. It was talking about eating meat and not eating things that would hurt other believers, right? It says, right. If you look at Romans 14:14, it says, I know and am persuaded by the master Yahushua that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Why? He sees it that way. Look, you shouldn't eat beef, right? First of all, he's saying we're not going to eat anything unclean anyway, right? But he's saying, okay, beef is bad. You shouldn't eat beef. Now, we know in the Word, Yahweh said we can eat beef, right? But you have some people that just say, meat is bad, beef is bad, you should only eat chicken and turkey. And some people say, well, you shouldn't eat chicken and turkey, you should only eat vegetables. He said, because that's how they see it, right? But our Word declared these meats to be clean. But because they see it impure, it becomes impure, right? He said, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy him, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Messiah thy. So because your brother has an offense with you eating meat, you don't eat meat around him. You know, you don't offend your brother by eating meat. For those who think that you shouldn't drink, you don't drink around. You don't destroy your brother by doing those things which are offensive to him, right? So that's what he's talking about. Now, Titus chapter 1, verse 15, it says, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. So, and that's what he's saying within our emotional state when something happens in this. Like we stubbed our toe with those two different emotional states. Because we were having a good day, it didn't affect us in the way that we were having a bad day. Why? And at the time, our mind was quote-unquote pure. But when we're having a bad day, our mind is quote-unquote defiled. So because we're having a pure day, everything is pure. Oh, man, I just stubbed my toe. Woo, that pain. I can't believe I did that. And you react that way. But when you're having that bad day because your goldfish Abraham just died or something like that, now everything is going, what else can go wrong? Woe is me. Why is it that this, that, that? But it's all in your brain and the information that it has received that day, which puts you in that state of mind, which goes back to what our brother said last night. Guard your gates. Make sure that you are receiving the good things of Yah And, you know, and when I'm saying that, don't be, and I say that to say that, don't be afraid to receive the bad things either, all right? Because we learn from the knowledge of good and evil. So we have to go and we have to receive those bad things also. But that's why Abba gives us these filters. Each part of our body has the filters on it, right? Book of Hebrews right quick. Hebrews chapter 5. All right, and verse 12, right? And I'm going to start at the second part. Well, I'll just read those 12. It says, For when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of Yah, and this is the part that from here on down, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So don't be afraid of the evil. Don't be afraid of the bad days. Don't be afraid of the perils and this, that. And see, and this is why I thank Abba for all the things. If you haven't been paying attention, look at all the encouraging words that's been coming out. Be grateful. Be grateful for your life. Be grateful that you're alive. You know, I talk to my brother, and he's like, man, every time I talk to him now, he's about to find out. He's an inspiration to me, you know. My brother said, he said, man, I said, hey, how you feeling? He said, man, I'm doing good. I can't complain. There's no way I can complain. He said, I watch my baby stare down death every day, and she don't blink an eye. How am I going to complain? I'm like, you're right. You are absolutely right. And, you know, Abba pulls us through everything. He pulls us through everything. And just pay attention, y'all. We got the Mighty One on our side. We going to make it. There's no way we going to lose. All right? All right, so back to brain facts, all right? Sorry for the rant. But it says, all right, so second paragraph, it says, let me just read the last sentence of the first paragraph. It says, when messages arrive at the cortex, the brain can process them differently depending on whether you had a good day or just broke up with your girlfriend. Says the cortex sends pain messages to the periaqueductal gray matter, which activates pathways. I'm sorry. They some big words, boy. It says periaqueductal gray matter, which activates pathways that modulate pain. Pathways send messages to networks that release endorphins, and this is the part which pathways send messages to networks that release endorphins, natural opioids that act like pain reliever. Act like the pain reliever, morphine. So you wonder why all these people out here are bent over and this, that, and another. They say they're in pain. All right, I'm in pain. Your body is already releasing morphine, a chemical-like morphine within your system. And then you go out there and you're going to put morphine on top of morphine and what's the name of it? Oxycodone on top of morphine and this, that, and another on top of something that your body is already naturally releasing. And that's why you can't stand up. Them buttes. All these different things, something that your body is already naturally releasing. Already got painkillers running through your spleen, to wherever the pain needs to stop. Your body's already on it, and then you go out there and you get the doctor to prescribe you some more stuff, and you're throwing it on top of that. And then on top of that, you're drinking on top of that. Talked about how your body reacts when it gets numb. You can't feel it. And you're not giving your body a chance to heal itself because it's working to get all this extra stuff out of it. It says natural opioids that act like pain reliever, act like the pain reliever morphine. Adrenaline produced during emotional stressful situations also serves as a pain reliever. So there's two types of pain relievers. Releasing these chemicals helps regulate and reduce pain by intercepting signals traveling through the spinal cord and brainstem. Although everyone has these brain circuits, how well they work and how sensitive they are influenced. How much pain someone feels. It's why some people develop chronic pain that regular treatment can't relieve. Endorphins act at multiple types of opioid receptors in the brain and spinal cord. Doctors can deliver opioid drugs to the spinal cord before, during, and after surgery to reduce pain. Scientists are studying ways to electrically stimulate the spinal cord to relieve pain while avoiding the harmful effects of long-term opioid use. No single brain area is responsible for pain and itch perception. Emotion and sensory components create a mosaic of activity influencing how we perceive pain. Some successful treatments target the emotional component, like meditation, hypnosis, cognitive behavioral therapy, and the controlled use of cannabis. Patients with chronic pain still feel pain, but it doesn't hurt as much. Brain imaging shows that cannabis suppresses activity in only a few pain areas, mostly the limbic system, the brain's emotional center. So you control your, if you can control those emotions, it cuts some of the pain down. It says, scientists don't fully understand how these therapies work yet. There is more to learn about how the brain and body detect and process touch and pain. The story so far shows the complexity importance of the somatosensory system. it goes something like that. All right. So, family, I hope y'all got something out of this. I pray Alpha gave y'all something, gave you exactly what you needed. And like I said, we're going through the foundational scriptures, which is Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Oops. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at 14. It says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it not therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would the smell? But now hath Yah set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where was the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Again, Sam, may Abba give you what you need right now for his glory, for your understanding. I pray that he grow and shape you and turn you into the person and give you what you need to understand and to bring you just a little bit closer to him. Again, if you got any questions or comments, out on the line, and we'll definitely answer them. Myself, one of the other Morays, because like I said, I recruit. So that's the end of Magnify the Torah, Make It Honorable. Next week, we're going to be talking about the brain. And it's going to be like an overview, all right? Because we went through all the senses. But all the senses do is just get information for the brain. The brain is the processor. It tells us and paints the picture for us. All right? So next week, I'll be willing. It'll be my last weekend. It'll be an overview. And the reason why it's an overview is because next go around, unless I'll switch it, we're going to be looking into the brain a little bit more, a little deeper from this one. So this one is going to be like just an overview. But then my next 6 weeks after a hub, and I'm not sure if Yaakov gonna do, you know, our brother been doing the YouTube. So that's going to be his focus. I'm not sure if this is last time doing this, but next week you're going to add one of them. And I will, not next week, but the week after. But I'm going to lead and guide one of them. So with that being said, you know, we're going to close out. Blessed be you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Now one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, for you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed be you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King, Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor for this day that you have bestowed upon us. Father, thank you for the breath of life. We ask you, forgive us for our sins, and that you hear our prayer. Abba, thank you for the Shabbat, this time that you have set apart for us, that you has made for us to come in contact with you. This special day, Father. Father, we ask that you continue to lead and guide us, Father, that you open up our minds to your word, that you direct our paths in all ways, and that we lean not to our understanding, Father. We ask, Father, that you put your words in our brother Ariel as he brings forth your word today. Father, fill him up. Allow him to edify. Allow him to edify us. You edify us through him up. Father, continue to comfort our Ema Deborah, Sister Danielle, Sister Chomi, our brother Yaka'el, our brother Shabba'el, our brother Den, our brother Ahava, our sister Ahava, everybody at Beth Yahweh who is hurting mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Continue to lead us. Continue to show us your way. Continue to be gracious to us, Father. Continue to bind up our wounds. Heal us completely, Abba. Heal us totally and wholly, according to your word and according to your good wishes, Father. We ask these things of you. We ask that you continue to provide us, Father, with what we need, with sufficient for the day. Don't give us too much. Don't give us too little. Provide our daily bread. Continue to watch over us. Continue to protect the little ones, the old ones, and the ones in between. Continue to guard our gates. Continue to allow us to be mindful of one another and be our brothers and our sisters keepers. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, family. Shabbat shalom.
Glory from me. The King You're more than